This happened in the time of the Koznitzer Magid, the great tzaddik, the Magid of Koznitz. There was a man and his wife, and they had no children. And they knew if they go to a tzaddik, maybe his bracha will help them to have a baby. Because we know there are three partners to the baby, the husband and the wife, and Hashem's bracha. And they traveled to the Koznitzer Magid, and they asked him for a bracha to have a baby. And he gave them a beautiful, nice bracha. And sure enough, a year later, they had a little baby boy, a sweet little baby, and they were so happy. But a few months later, as the baby was in his crib, the mommy noticed that the baby was getting very sick. And it happens with babies, they get sick. So you call the doctor and you give the medicine. And the doctor came with the medicine, but the medicine was not working and the baby was very, very sick. And the mommy and the tati were very, very worried and concerned about the baby. And the mommy says to the tati, please go back to the Koznitzer Magid and tell him that the baby that he gave us a bracha for is very, very sick. And of course, if we ask the bracha for a baby, we want a healthy baby. And the tati went to Koznitz, to the Magid of Koznitz, and he told him what was happening, and he asked for a bracha, and the Koznitzer Magid said, your baby should have a refuah shlema. And the tati felt very happy that he got such a beautiful bracha for a refuah shlema, and he felt everything would be fine when he got home. He got home, and the baby was even more sick than before. And his wife said, what did the Magid of Koznitz say? He gave a bracha for a refuah shlema. Oh, Baruch Hashem, so our baby will get better. But kenalach, day by day, the baby got worse. And they did not see any refuah at all, especially not a refuah shlema. And the mommy and the tati were so worried. And the mommy was so worried, she was crying all the time and saying to him, and she didn't even sleep in her bed. She slept in a chair next to the crib. She would not leave the baby's crib for a minute. And one time, Kenalach, she fell asleep next to the crib in her chair. And then she woke up and she looked at the crib, but all of a sudden she saw, and remember, she woke up now. She was not sleeping. She just woke up from a nap in her chair, and she saw a soldier standing next to the crib, like an army man soldier in a uniform with a hat with stripes. And the soldier was holding in one hand a bottle, and in the other hand he was holding a spoon. And he poured from the bottle into the spoon some kind of stuff, and he gave it into the baby's little mouth. And the baby opened up his mouth and drank whatever was in that spoon. And then the soldier poured again into the spoon, and he gave it into the baby's mouth, and again the baby drank. And the woman was so surprised at what she saw. She just couldn't even do anything. But by now, she realized what's happening, and she realized she's awake, and she starts to scream, ah, ah, who are you? Who are you, the soldier in the house? Who are you? What are you doing here? And the soldier ran away. He ran right out of the room. And the woman ran to her baby, and she looked at her baby, and the baby had a little smile on his face. Oh, look. My baby is smiling It's been a long time since he had a little smile on his baby face. And she noticed he looked better than before. He had some color in his face. She says, I wonder what happened. And who was that soldier? And what did he put on my baby's mouth? But I see the baby is getting better. She waited for her husband to get home. By the time he came home, the baby was already making baby noises that the baby didn't make for a long time because the baby was so weak. And now the baby is making little happy baby noises and smiling. And after a while, the baby started to move around and the baby started to be just fine. And the baby had, as they saw, as the few hours went by and then a few days went by, the baby had a refuah shleima. The baby was fine. And the mommy told her husband all about that soldier. So they were very happy and very sort of afraid at the same time. They were happy the baby had a refuah shleima, but they were afraid, who was that soldier? Especially, they were also confused because the Kazet Shemaget had given his bracha for refuah shleima and the baby didn't get better, the baby got worse. And only when that soldier came into the room, the baby got better. And the mommy says to her husband, hey, do you think it was a witch or something, or a shin dalit, or some kind of a strange thing, that soldier? Was it a real soldier? Who was that? I don't know, the man says to his wife. She said, let's both of us go back to the Kazet Shemagid, and maybe we'll even take our baby for an extra bracha, and let's ask the Kazet Shemagid about what happened. Let's tell him what happened and ask him if we have to be worried or not. And Kinilach, the mommy and the tati, and probably they took the little baby also, they traveled to Kuznets and they told the Kazet Shemaget about what had happened, and they asked him, what was that all about? Did they have to be worried? Was that some kind of a shindal or something? And the Maggid smiled and he says, Baruch Hashem, your baby is fine and you don't have to worry about anything. Just take it out of your mind, enjoy your baby, and everything is fine. And don't worry about anything at all. It was nothing, chas shalom, not good. It was only good. And the husband and his wife and the little baby left. They went back home. And as soon as they left, the Maggid of Kuznets called his shamish. His shamish is his helper who helps the Maggid with all the kinds of things that a tzaddik needs. And he says to the shamish, go please and take my walking stick. You know, sometimes a person has a stick and they walk with it. And the Kazet Shemaget had a walking stick. And the Maggid tells the shamish, take my walking stick, leave the house, and go with the stick to the Beis HaKvarois of Kuznets, which means the graveyard. Take my stick to the graveyard. And in the graveyard, go to a certain kever, a certain grave. And the Kazet Shemaget explained exactly which grave to go to, and he says, this is the grave of a soldier. Now, on the stone, on the mitzvah, I don't know if it said that here lies a soldier or what, but whatever the case may be, the Kazet Shemaget told the shamish that this particular kever is a soldier's kever in the graveyard of Kuznets. And he said, take my stick and knock on the kever. Tap with it on the kever. And while you're tapping, tell the soldier that I want to see him, to come to me, that the Kazet Shemaget asked the soldier to come because I want to speak to him. And Kinilach, the shamish, took the stick And he did, of course, exactly what the Kazi Shemagi had told him to do. And he goes and he finds the grave in the base of Kfaris, and he takes the stick and he taps on it, and he says, "Soldier, soldier, the Kazi Shemagi is calling you. He'd like to speak to you, and he sent me to take his stick to knock over here and ask you to come to him." "Soldier, soldier, the Kazi Shemagi would like to see you." Makinalach, shh. The Kazi Shemagi stayed home. But all of a sudden, the soldier came to him. Now, if he was wearing a uniform and he had a body like a person and he walked in the door, I don't know. Or if he was just an neshama that came from Gan Eden and he could not be seen with your eyes, or the Kazi Shemagi saw him with Ruach HaKodesh, I don't know. The main thing is that the soldier came from the other world to the Kazi Shemagi. As we know, Tzadikim Kinalach have a connection with neshamas in the other world. So do we, by the way. But we can't necessarily see them or talk to them, and Tzadikim can. Shh. We know that when the Rebbe would go to the Oyel, when the Rebbe was alive and the Friedrich Rebbe was by the Oyel, he used to spend hours and hours and hours there. And we know from many stories that he used to be able to talk to the Friedrich Rebbe. Not just read pidyonos like we read a pidyon, but actually talk and even receive answers. What was the answer from the Rebbe on many, many things? Azkir alatzion. I will mention it by the Oyel. And there are stories where the Rebbe told people he has to wait to see what the Friedrich Rebbe will tell him by the Oyel. Shh. Now, the Kazi Shemagi asked the soldier, "Who made you to be a doctor for children?" Or, as we know, is called a pediatrician. Right? What is a kid's doctor called? A pediatrician. Who made you to be a pediatrician? You're a soldier. Who made you to be a doctor going around with medicine and healing children who are sick? This is what the Magid asked the soldier who came from the other world. And the soldier answered, "Well, I'll tell you what happened, how I became a doctor for children from the other world." And this is the story, Kenalach, the story inside of a story, which is part of the story. The soldier said like this, "When I was a young man, I was taken away to the army. In those days, taken away to the army means you'll be away for 25 years or maybe longer. And you'll be sent far, far away, and you'll be away from Yidden. You'll be away from Yiddishkeit. You'll be away from kosher food and shuls and yeshivas. And you'll have to live just like all the other soldiers, unless you have a lot of Mesiras Nefesh." And there are stories of those soldiers who did have Mesiras Nefesh, and somehow they kept Yiddishkeit, even though it was so difficult. But this soldier did not have exactly the chinuch at home to be able to do that. And he said, "I became just like all the other soldiers, living like them. And I was just like, I wasn't a Yid, except for one thing, that I was a Yid, and it was written down on my papers, my army papers, that I'm a Jew. And the other soldiers, they knew that I was a Jew, but it really didn't make a difference so much, because I was just like all the other soldiers. That's the way I behaved, and that's the way I looked, and that's the way I was." Shh. And one day, the general of our army base where we stayed, he said, "Soldiers, I'm giving you a day off." And the soldiers were so excited. "Ha, ha, ha, a day off. Oh boy, we get to go and do what we want." The soldier, but the general said, "But you have to be back at a certain time, let's say it was 8 o'clock in the evening, for roll call. And you better make sure that you're by roll call. because I'm not giving you the whole day and the whole night. I'm just giving you the whole day until the evening. 8 o'clock, make sure you're back by roll call. You know what's roll call? They have to be standing in a line exactly in their place. The general will come out and call their names. Igor, he has to say, yes. Vladimir, yes. Ivan, yes. Each one has to answer to his name that he's there. And if they're there, the general is very happy that they're there, because that's what they're supposed to be. And if they're not there, they're going to be big trouble. And so the soldiers went out all together, and they went into the town, and they started having the kind of fun that soldiers have, whatever they do, eat and drink and go to the restaurant, or, you know, make a few l'chaims, get some mashke, maybe not l'chaims, just drink the mashke without l'chaims. Buy a yid. What do you do with mashke? L'chaim, you give brachas. You give a person a bracha to be closer to Hashem, and you be closer to Hashem. Everything is connected with Hashem. L'havdil, you know, could be by other people. They just drink the mashke and forget about Hashem, chas v'shalom, and the mashke makes them a little bit the other way. And this is what happened with the soldiers. They got shikr, and they got vild. And they went into the town and did vildesachen. Until it was about, 7 o'clock. Uh-oh, an hour left. We have to go back to roll call. We better get back to the army base. The general will be very upset if we're not back there on time. And they started going on the road in the country. And the sun was going down. It wasn't dark yet, but the sun was going down. And all of a sudden, as the soldiers are going together, they see a person walking alone. And one of the soldiers says, "Hey, look over there. It's a Jew walking alone on the road." And the other soldier says, "Yeah, it's a Jew walking alone on the road." And the other soldiers say, "It's a Jew walking alone on the road." And they look at each other, let's get him, hey. Let's get his money. After all, he's all by himself. Let's get his money. And then we'll have more money the next time we can go out on a free day like this. We could spend the money we get from that Jew. Now, Ken Alach, this story happens to be very sad from now on, but I have to tell the story. Because sometimes these things happen in a story. They went to that Jew by himself in the road, and they surrounded him, and he sees all these soldiers. And at first he thought, well, the soldiers from the army of the king. Then he saw the soldiers were not very nice in their way they were looking at him. They looked very mean, and they also looked very wild. And before he knew it, they were taking the money, whatever money this yid had, they were taking it out from his pockets. And the soldiers say, "Hey, 75 rubles. Pretty good, the 75 rubles. And then one of the soldiers said, "Wait a minute. What are we going to do now? If we let this Jew go, and he sees we're soldiers in uniform, and he knows that we're soldiers from the army of the king, he's going to go tell the general on us that we took his money. And we're going to be in trouble. We don't want to get in trouble. So what are we going to do?" And one of the soldiers said, "Hey, see over there? A tree. And near the tree is a bunch of rope that somebody must have left from a wagon." A tree with rope. Rope and a tree. And the other soldiers say, "Hey, yeah, rope and a tree." And the yid was afraid because he saw what the soldiers are getting ready to do. And the yid, the Yiddish soldier that is in our story, that came from the other world to the Kazus Magid, he said at this point, "Even though in no way was I ever acting like a Jew, but right then and there, when I understood that the soldiers were getting ready to do something terrible to another Jew, inside of me came a very, very big feeling that I wanted to help this Yid. But things were happening so fast, I didn't know exactly what I could do to stop all the other soldiers from what they were planning to do. And the soldiers took the rope and they put it over the tree and they made a loop, a round thing with a knot. And unfortunately, Kindalach, you know, we shouldn't end on a bad note. We have to end the story. So tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, we continue with the story. And, you know, that's all. The story today. So next week we can begin a new happy story. The last thing was the soldiers surrounded the Yid who was walking alone. And, you know, they had been a day in the town, a day off, and the day off was drinking and getting wild, and they were shikker. They surrounded the Yid, and they took the money out from his pants, and it was 75 rubles. And then they said, "We don't want this Yid to tell our general, because he sees our uniforms. We don't want to get in trouble. How could we do it so he wouldn't tell our general and we wouldn't get in trouble? The only way is we have to get rid of the Jew so he can't talk anymore." And Kinalach, they found over there a rope and they went to the tree and they made a round thing with a knot on the rope and they put it over the head of the Yid. And they lifted up the rope over the tree and they hanged the Jew on the tree. Now, Kinalach, they were in a big hurry to get back to roll call because roll call is going to be 8 o'clock and if they're late, they're going to get in trouble from their general. And now they said, "Let's get out of here and let's go to roll call and be on time." And they start to run. And Kinalach, remember the Jewish soldier? And he's the one who is now speaking to the Kozhus Magid and telling him this whole story. Everybody was in a hurry to get out of there, and the Yid decided he is going to slip away from the other soldiers and go back to the Jew who's hanging on the tree. Because, as we know, it does take a while until the air is all cut off. And the Yid was still alive on that rope because he wasn't hanging there even for a few minutes yet, maybe not even a minute yet. And it was getting dark and the other soldiers were in a big hurry and they were shikker and they were running as fast as they could to get back for roll call. And the Yiddish soldier ran back and he climbed up the tree and he cut down that rope. And the Yid was still alive. But he had to help him a lot to feel better because he felt so bad from the rope and from what happened to him. And the Yiddish soldier explained that he was also a Yid and he felt so terrible what the other soldiers did. And he also said, "I have money in my pockets and I'm going to give back the money that they took from my own money. I want you to have it." And he took out 75 rubles from his own pocket and he gave it to the Jew. And Kinalach, they began talking and the time was passing and the two Yidden were talking under the tree and the Yiddish soldier was trying to make the man feel a little bit better so he can get home to his family. While this was going on, the other soldiers had arrived to the army camp, which was very close by. And it was already time for roll call. They got there just in the second that it was roll call. And the general comes out and starts screaming, "Roll call! Igor, da! Vladimir, da! Ivan, da!" Every soldier answers his name. He gets to the Jewish soldier's name and he calls it out, whatever it was. No answer. He screams it out again. No answer. He says, Where is this soldier that I call his name? He's not here at roll call. Where is he? Wasn't he with you other soldiers on your day off in the town? Yes, he was, General. Well, where is he now? We don't know, General. Go find him. And the other soldiers ran out from the roll call, and now they go back. And now they go back on the road to look for the other soldier. They didn't know what happened to him. And the general gave them orders to find him. And Kenilach, as I told you, the time was passing between the two Yidden talking under the tree. And all of a sudden, the group of soldiers came. And either it was still a little bit light outside or the moon was shining bright, whatever it was, but they could see. And they saw the rope had been cut from the tree. And they saw, because they said, where is that Jew hanging from the tree that we put him there? The other Jew, the Jew who was hanging on the rope, remember him? Okay. He left. He said goodbye. The Yid who had been hanging on the rope now went home to his family, and he was, of course, so thankful to be home. And he had already left just a minute or two before, and now the Jewish soldier was still under the tree getting ready to go back now to the army base. That is exactly when the soldiers showed up, and they said, where is the Jew hanging from the tree? Where is he? Hey, who's over there? Who's under the tree? Hey, that's the soldier. Hey, isn't he a Jew? Yes, he's a Jew. He must have cut down the other Jew. And now he is there, and he could tell on us. So they said, we're going to make sure that he doesn't tell on us. And they caught him, the Jewish soldier, and they took him to the rope, and they pulled him on the tree. And this time there was nobody there to cut him down. And this was the Jewish soldier that was talking to the Kazan Shemagid, who had been hanged on the tree by the other soldiers. And the Kazan Shemagid says to the soldier, so how did you become a doctor for children? A pediatrician? He said, now the soldier is going on with his story. He says, after I passed away, I went up to the Beis Din Shel Milo, to the trial up in the Himmel. And they called out, this neshama has to be judged. Let's see if he did mitzvahs at Avedis, because they put it on the scale on both sides. They look at how many mitzvahs he did and how many Avedis. And all of a sudden, thousands and thousands of Aveda Malachim came because he had done so many Avedis. And they started going on one side of the scale. And there were so many of them. And the Satan calls out, Gehenim. He has to go to Gehenim for his Avedis. And then they call out, what about his mitzvahs? And all of a sudden, Kinalach, a beautiful malach came from the Shemayim. And this was the malach who said that he had saved the life of a Yid. And saving the life of a Yid is like saving the whole world. He saved the life of a Jew. He has to go to Gan Eden. And the Satan calls out, Gehenim, look at the Avedis. And the beautiful Malach calls out, Gan Eden, look at the beautiful mitzvah. And since he had both, so many Avedis and so many mitzvahs, Kinalach, they did not let him go into Gan Eden. And they did not let him, he did not have to go into Gehenim. And they decided, where should he go? They said, you will go back into the world whenever there's a sick child, and you will help the child to have a refuah shlema. And that's how he became a doctor for children. He went around in the world and helped sick kinderlach that were not gesund, to have a refuah shlema. The kinderlach, whether he went to Gan Eden later or what happened, the story doesn't say. But the end of the story was that a great tzaddik said a very important thing. He says, you know, we take a piece of gold, we look at it, we right away say, oh, it's a beautiful piece of gold. We understand how nice gold is, or a diamond, or silver, or toys, or something. You say, that's very good. You understand how good it is. But a Yiddish and a Shameh, We don't understand how beautiful and special and good a Yiddish neshama, even this person that did so many avedas in his life, even this person that did so many avedas in his life, look at the tremendous good that he had, even to Mesiras Nefesh. A Yiddish neshama is very hard to understand, Kinalach.